Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I am your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic, pipping holes and clocking the grip like my name was Dolomite. Dion Tyre Gordon, enough of the bullshit. Let's please get to work. I was told by a lot of allegedly smart people that Tom Brady was washed up. I was told by people who claim to be the smartest person in the room that Tom Brady couldn't play anymore. He's been falling off a cliff since 2014, according to Max Kellerman. I've been told by people he was a system quarterback. It was all Bill Belichick. It wasn't Tom Brady. He had nothing to do with all that success in New England. No, it's the guy on the sideline with the dirty-ass hoodie. He, and only he, is the reason. Remember, Matt Castle went 11-5. In 2008, I mean, they missed the playoffs, but Matt Castle did go 11-5. Jimmy Garoppolo won two games as a starter, filling in for Brady. Jacoby Brissett won another game. It's always been about the system. I mean, you could take any quarterback in the league and put them in Brady's spot in New England. They had equal amount of success. Aaron Rodgers would have already won 12 Super Bowls if he was playing for Bill Belichick. That's what people tell me, right? Aaron Rodgers throws a really good-looking football. Nice spiral coming out of his hands. He doesn't win playoff games in January and February when it counts, but he throws a really good-looking football, doesn't he? That makes him better than Tom Brady because he throws a more attractive-looking football than Tom Brady does. People tell me these type of things. People say these things. They allow this gibberish to come out of their fucking mouth. They formulate these thoughts in their brain. They process it. Maybe people aren't getting enough dopamine. Maybe that's what the problem is. A dopamine deficiency is causing people to say stupid, dumbass, nonsensical, ridiculous shit about football and everything else in general. People just say things to be saying things. It's one thing if you want to argue. And as far as this GOAT conversation, it's one thing if you wanted to say that Joe Montana's the GOAT. I'll allow that. I'll listen to that conversation. Joe Montana's 4-0 in the Super Bowl, never lost. I don't even think he ever threw an interception in the Super Bowl. That's impressive. That's great. That's awesome. I'm a 49er fan. I appreciate that. When I go to Levi's Stadium, I take a tour of the stadium, and I see the 5 Lombardi trophies on full display. 4 of those are a direct result of Joe Montana. How can I not be appreciative of Joe Montana? But with all due respect to Joe Montana or Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers or Johnny Unitas or Troy Aikman or Roger Staubach or Drew Brees or Steve Young or Dan Fouts or Joe Namath, of Terry Bradshaw, Otto Graham, with all due respect, John Elway, Dan Marino, with all due respect to the greatest legendary quarterbacks who ever played the sport, there should be zero, especially now in the immediate aftermath of Super Bowl 55, there should be zero resistance, no pushback, nothing to the contrary. No one in their right fucking mind should ever allow themselves to say that someone not named Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback who ever played football, period. At this point, I just don't want to hear it. It's completely asinine to say anything else other than Tom Brady, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, is the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport. And for the people, for the conspiracy theory folks out there, and I'm about to get to y'all in a little bit, but for the people who say, oh man, the game is rigged, Brady's got the referees in his back pocket, these are the same people who said that all of his success was a direct result of Bill Belichick. You're just a hater. You are a hater if you say things like that. Your life is filled with hate. When you see someone driving down the street in a nice car, you look at it and say, man, damn, fuck him. Fuck him and his car. I should have a car like that. You should, but you don't. You get mad if a friend of yours tells you, hey, I just bought a brand new house. You get mad because you live in a shitty apartment on the fucked up part of town and you have no prospects in your life. You have no chances to ever upgrade or improve your situation. So you hating on the next man. That's who you are. You are a stone cold hater. You are no different than Colonel Stinkmeaner from the Boondocks. You are the type of person that will admire a beautiful sunny day sitting lakeside or by some big body of water with the sun setting over the ocean, and you will see dolphins jumping out of the water. You are the kind of person that will roll your eyes at this and say, this is some bullshit. That's the kind of person you are. You are a hater. If you don't appreciate history and greatness unfolding in front of you in live, real time, in an age of mediocrity, when mediocrity is running rampant in America for the past 10 to 15 years, we get progressively worse as a country every year. The bar gets lowered every single year. And yet here you have a guy who just consistently wins and operates at a high level and gets shit done no matter where he goes, no matter who's around him. People come and go, players, coaches, assistant coaches, coordinators, whatever. The gold standard in the National Football League since 2001 with 7 championships, 10 appearances, 16 conference championship game appearances, beating every team in the league, approaching 80,000 yards passing, over 500 touchdowns thrown. The first and only quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl in both conferences. Winning a Super Bowl coming from the wild card, having to win 3 games on the road just to come back home and be the first ever quarterback to win a Super Bowl in his home stadium. GOAT activities. GOAT activities. That's all I can say. You know, people ask me all the time, Deion, why do you like Tom Brady so much? I just like winners. I like people who get shit done. I like people who are awesome. I like people who just consistently accomplish things. I like seeing it. I'm not a hater. I like seeing people achieve and do things at a high level. I like seeing cold, awesome shit. I like seeing history live in real time unfold in front of my eyes. I'm experiencing this. This is in my lifetime. I'm watching this happen. I'm not reading about it in a book. I'm not being told a story from one of my elders. I'm seeing this happen right in front of me. I appreciate it. What else do you want me to say? I appreciate greatness. Because once again, we live in a society that's so depressingly awful. The average person is shit. We're surrounded by nothing. Just garbage, inept, incompetent, dumbass, lame, pathetic, horrible, unconscionable individuals around you, everywhere you go. People at an all-time low. People are fucking garbage. But all hope is not lost because we still have people who can accomplish things and do things at a high level and just consistently be awesome. Be an inspiration, I guess you can say. At 43, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to play until you're 43 in the NFL, unless you're a kicker. You're not supposed to do that as a quarterback. If you are playing at 43 as a quarterback, you probably are washed. He's 43 and still awesome. He threw for 40 touchdown passes this season at 43. I'm a 49er fan. Garoppolo's 30. He's never going to throw 40 touchdown passes in a season. I'm just going to say that right now. Jimmy Garoppolo is never, ever, at any point in his NFL career, going to throw for 40 touchdowns in the season. Tom Brady did that at 43 years of age. How am I not supposed to, as a football nerd, as a football historian, as someone who watches football during the offseason, I watch old games. It's not uncommon for me to watch a football game from 1983. I love football that much. For someone who appreciates the game that much, how can I not appreciate the greatest winner the sport's ever seen? Are you fucking crazy? People ask me, why do you like Tom Brady so much? Because I like winners. I like people who are awesome. I like people who get the job done. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady. They get the job done. They finish. In the critical clutch moments, they come through more often than not. Muhammad Ali back in the day. Those are my 4 favorite athletes of all time. Muhammad Ali, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and Tom Brady. What do all 4 of those men have in common? They're all winners. They're all guys who get shit done. They figure it out. They rise above the situation and their competition. Those are the people that I root for. I'll let y'all continue to wave pom-poms and cheer for losers who throw pretty spirals. I can keep doing that. But for me personally, I'm not going to celebrate losers. I'm going to celebrate the winners. To the victor go the spoils. And in Super Bowl 55, it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers victorious over the Kansas City Chiefs, 31-9, complete shutdown, ass-kicking, ass-whooping, molly-whopping, whatever you want to call it. Kansas City been soft ever since Tampa Bay came through and crushed the buildings. That shit was ugly. That shit was ugly. No one saw that coming. Well, some people might have saw it coming. I predicted Kansas City to win the game. I will take the L on that. I said KC 31-25, freezing cold take on my behalf. However, in my last podcast, I did outline keys to victory for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and ways they can win this game, things to look out for. And the biggest thing I said to look out for was Kansas City will be playing this game minus their two starting tackles, Mitchell Schwartz, their right tackle, Eric Fisher, their left tackle, both inactive, did not play in Super Bowl 55, and you saw the results. Patrick Mahomes was running for his life. In Super Bowl 55, Patrick Mahomes dropped back to pass 56 times. He was under pressure 29 of those times. ESPN Next Gen Stats says, Patrick Mahomes, are you ready for this? Patrick Mahomes in Super Bowl 55 traveled 497 yards before every pass or sack in the game. I shall repeat myself. In Super Bowl 55, Patrick Mahomes ran a distance of 497 yards before every pass and or sack in Super Bowl 55. That is astounding. Under pressure, your life is on the line. 56 dropbacks, 29 pressures. Over half the time you drop back, you was under pressure. Only got sacked twice. I think that's a testament to the athleticism of Patrick Mahomes, his escapability, his ability to extend plays, and also his improvisational skills. But as talented as he is in that realm of quarterbacking, it still wasn't enough. It's hard to play football when you're under that much pressure. And being down, you're starting right tackle and left tackle going against Shaquille Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, Vita Vea, and Ndamukong Suh was proven deadly for the Kansas City Chiefs. I've been saying this on this podcast all year long. The only real way to shut down or neutralize the Kansas City Chiefs offense, you have to get pressure with your four down linemen, drop everyone else back into coverage, keep everything in front of you, and don't let Tyreek Hill beat you. I said that on the last podcast profusely. I said that repeatedly. Todd Bowles must have been listening. I appreciate the listen, Todd. Good looking out. You took my advice and it worked out for you. Do not let Tyreek Hill fuck up the football game. I will allow Travis Kelce to do whatever he wants. He had 10 catches for a 133. They didn't score a touchdown the entire game. Tyreek Hill had 7 catches for 73 yards. Obviously, no touchdowns. That's a marked improvement from the first time you played him. The first time you played him, he had over 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. He was doing backflips into the end zone, stone cold stunting on your defense, making a mockery out of Carlton Davis. Today, that wasn't the case. The strategy was a lot better. The defense carried the day for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, going up against the most explosive offense in the NFL, and they only surrendered 9 points and no touchdowns the entire game. Give a lot of credit to defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. Give a lot of credit to the players in uniform as well. Devin White, Levante David, Ndamukong Suh, Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, Vita Vea, Antoine Winfield Jr. on the back end, who had an interception in the second half. Murphy Bunting, Jordan Whitehead. Total team effort for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. Everyone who scored a point for the Buccaneers was not even on the roster a season ago. Tom Brady, Antonio Brown caught a touchdown pass. Rob Gronkowski caught 2 touchdown passes in this game. That was another key to victory I outlined in my last podcast. I said the tight ends, him and Cameron Brate, had a pretty big day. The first time these two teams played, I look for the tight ends to have a big day. In this one, Gronk has 6 catches for 67 yards, 2 touchdowns in this game. The former WWE 24/7 champion was outstanding in this game. And then there's Leonard Fournette, who has 16 carries, 89 yards, a touchdown, 27 yards untouched to the house on that touchdown run for Leonard Fournette. The Jacksonville Jaguars got to feel real stupid right now. You have Fournette on the roster, Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Bouye. You know, the Jaguars had a solid football team back in 2017. They were one quarter of football away against Tom Brady from going to Super Bowl 53. But Brady did what Brady does, brought New England back to win, and that franchise has been in pure shambles ever since. And the only part of this game that was really ever in doubt was the second quarter, and there was a stretch. There was a nice sequence of plays that I thought really determined the outcome of this football game. You had a 7-3 lead for Tampa Bay. They drive it all the way down to the 1-yard line. 3rd and goal, they hand off to Ronald Jones. He doesn't get in. 4th and goal, they hand it off to Ronald Jones. He gets stuffed at the 1-yard line. Kansas City takes over. Mahomes completes a pass from the end zone to Tyreek Hill, gives him a 1st down. But then after that, they get stuffed on 3rd down when Kelce drops the pass. So they have to punt. I think right around about the 15-yard line. Now their punter, Tommy Townsend, had been struggling up until that point, and struggles continued. He got the snap on the punt. He fumbled it. Ball fell on the ground. He picked it up, was able to get the kick off. It was a pretty decent kick. However, there was a holding flag on that kick, so it brought it back. So about the 10-yard line, and they had to attempt the punt again. This time the punt was shanked. He kicked it about 20 yards in the air, went out of bounds at about the 28, 30-yard line. Tampa has a short field. Brady throws a pass in the flat, thinking around third down, second down, to Fournette. The ball's tipped at the line of scrimmage. Fournette then bobbles it into the hands of Tyrann Mathieu. He thinks he has an interception. However, Charvarius Ward gets called for a holding penalty on Mike Evans on the same play. So the Buccaneers maintain possession. A few plays later, Brady hits Gronk in the end zone. Now it's 14-3. Now a few plays later, later on in the second quarter, it's now 14-6. Tampa Bay is able to stop Kansas City's offense once again. They get the ball back with about 40 seconds left. I think, to me, based on the initial play call on first down, I think Tampa was content with the 14-6 lead to just run the clock out and go into halftime up 14-6. I don't think they were trying to put Brady in a position to make a mistake before the half and give momentum back to Kansas City. However, it ended up working out in their favor to get the first down rush. Kansas City calls timeout, about 49 seconds left. Then they run a screen pass, pick up some more yardage, still short of the first down. Kansas City calls another timeout. Then they convert third down, so the drive continues. Then Brady takes a shot down the field to Mike Evans. Pass interference on Bashaud Breeland. Gives him the ball to about the 13, 15-yard line. Brady takes another shot to the end zone to Mike Evans. He's interfered with by Tyrann Mathieu. Now there's some question and debate as to whether or not that ball was even catchable. Tony Romo called that out during the broadcast. It wasn't, truthfully speaking, the ball wasn't catchable. That flag probably should have been thrown. But, and I'm about to get this in a second, Kansas City was top five in the NFL this season in penalties against them. This is an undisciplined football team, and it came back to bite them in the worst possible way in the biggest game of the season. So now Tampa has the ball spotted at the one-yard line. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, Tampa only has one timeout. They have burned up their first two timeouts at the beginning of the second quarter. They challenged the spot on that Ronald Jones touchdown run that they thought was a touchdown, and it went against them, so they lost a timeout. And then Brady, before that, had called a timeout. So Tampa only has one timeout left with 49 seconds left to go. But still, they get down to the one-yard line, only had to use that one timeout at around about 13 seconds left. They have the ball at the one-yard line, less than 10 seconds left to go. Brady knows he can't take a sack. He definitely knows he can't turn it over. Brady, being the clutch quarterback that he is, throws a strike to Antonio Brown, who ran a hellacious route on Tyrann Mathieu, just losing him, getting wide open. Brady puts it right between the numbers, touchdown Bucs. Game over. It was 21-6 Tampa Bay. The game was already over at halftime. Now it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I know this is a team that can erase a double-digit deficit in a matter of seconds. Believe me, I know this. I'm a 49er fan. I still have PTSD from Super Bowl 54 when San Francisco was up 20-10 and then lost 31-20. A 10-point lead with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54, and San Francisco loses by 11. On their way to that Super Bowl last season, they were down 24-0 versus Houston and won that game 51-31. They were down double digits versus Tennessee. They were down 9-0 versus Buffalo. This is a team that can erase a deficit in a matter of seconds, like I said. But in this particular game, being down two left tackles against a ferocious pass rush like Tampa Bay has, I wasn't going to totally count Kansas City out. But if they were to make a comeback in this game, it was going to be abundantly difficult. It was not going to be easy, minus your starting left tackle, minus your starting right tackle, going up against the artillery that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were bringing. Knowing that you're down two scores, you're probably going to be in passing situations. Although Kansas City did come out and run the football a little bit better at the beginning of the third quarter with Edwards-Helaire, they were able to get some big runs off. Too little, too late. The damage had already been done. I felt like they should have established Edwards-Helaire a little bit earlier in the game and taken advantage of the fact that Tampa Bay was playing the safeties like 40 yards off the ball. You had really nobody in the box. They were playing the pass, and in particular playing Tyreek Hill in the deep ball, the threat of the deep ball. There were some lanes underneath to take advantage of. There were some plays to be made. I mentioned this in my last podcast. You know, Kansas City has gotten better this season and taking what the defense gives them, putting together 10, 12, 15-play drives, always relying on the big play, on a three-play, 85-yard drive, hitting Tyreek Hill downfield on a bomb. You know, they've shown this season they can put together the long, sustained drives. But in this game, I feel like there was a lack of patience. Mahomes was always looking downfield, always trying to make the big play, and he didn't have time to make those big plays because the pass rush was getting home so quick. And I got to say, I was very much surprised that the Chiefs didn't have a better game plan to combat me and down two starting tackles. I was surprised not to see Mahomes on the run, on design rollouts, on bootlegs, sprint right option, things of that nature. With Reed and Bieniemy having 2 weeks to prepare for the game, I was expecting to see a little bit more imagination in the play calling. I thought the play calling was pretty basic and didn't really change throughout the game, especially at the halftime. I was waiting to see what type of adjustments Kansas City would have to combat the pressure that Mahomes was under. And like I said, they came out and tried to run the ball a little bit at the beginning of the third and then went away from it. Obviously, if you're down by two or three scores as they were late in the game, down 31-9, you need to pass the ball to get back into the game. So the running game is pretty much obsolete at that point. But I was just overall expecting more from Reed and Bieniemy. That's why I picked KC to win this game. I knew about their deficiencies in the offensive line with the injuries and guys being out. But I was expecting them to come up with something from a schematic standpoint to combat that, and it just wasn't there. I felt like Kansas City's coaches got out-coached by Tampa Bay's coaches. I felt like Arians and Leftwich and Todd Bowles in particular did an excellent job as a defensive coordinator for this game. I thought Tampa's guys on the sideline were better than Kansas City's guys on the sideline, and that was one of the big reasons why the Lombardi Trophy is currently residing in Tampa, Florida right now, and KC is on their way back to Kansas City with nothing to show for it. And I want to take this opportunity right now to address some of the Kansas City fans, in particular members of the Mahomes family, some of the conspiracy theorist football fans who thought this game was being influenced by the officials. People thought this game was being officiated in a way that was beneficial to the Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers, as if the game were rigged to help Brady win another championship. I want to take this opportunity to tell all you people who think that way to shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. As I mentioned earlier, Kansas City is top five in the league this year in penalties. They are an undisciplined football team. They do this every game. They hold every game on offense and on defense. Once again, speaking as a 49er fan, Super Bowl 54 was officiated in a very advantageous way towards the Kansas City Chiefs. So if the game didn't go their way tonight from an officiating standpoint, you can call that karma, because last year's Super Bowl was an absolute travesty from an officiating standpoint on more than one call. On that infamous 3rd and 15, where Mahomes completed it downfield to Tyreek Hill, the play that really shifted and changed the momentum in Kansas City's favor. On that play, Nick Bosa is being held up at gunpoint by the Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman, Eric Fisher. That happened. That's true. That is real. Go back and watch the footage. Now, there's a number of reasons why San Francisco collapsed in that fourth quarter. Garoppolo's ineptitude, some of Shanahan's play calling, offense with consecutive three and outs, thus tiring out the defense. You can talk about those things. Those are all valid reasons why the 49ers lost in Super Bowl 54, but the officiating certainly was not up to standard in last year's game, and it certainly did not help the 49ers in any capacity. It wasn't just Nick Bosa was being held. It was every member of the 49ers defensive line being held the entire game, and not a single flag was thrown, or not enough flags were thrown in that regard, especially on the 3rd and 15. So once again, if any Kansas City Chiefs fan, if you so happen to be listening to this podcast, first of all, I appreciate the listen. Thank you very much. Continue listening to the Dion Gordon podcast. I don't want to lose any viewers or listeners in this regard. But if you are a Chiefs fan and you are listening to this, I say this with the utmost disrespect. Fuck you. You can go to hell. Your team got away with a lot of shit in Super Bowl 54, so don't cry about the flags that were thrown in Super Bowl 55 when your team is top five in the NFL in penalties committed and penalty yardage. You played an undisciplined and stupid football game. You jumped off sides on the field goal. You held. You committed pass interference penalties left and right, and you lost. The better team won this game tonight. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers outcoached you, outplayed you, and were the better football team in Super Bowl 55. They made better adjustments coming off of what happened the first time these two teams played, in particular with Tyreek Hill going off in the first quarter. Todd Bowles made great adjustments. Bruce Arians made great adjustments. The biggest adjustment that Arians made was Arians capitulating to Brady and allowing Brady to implement his system, the way he likes to play football, into what they already do down there in Tampa with Arians and Leftwich and their offense. Two tight end sets, play action passes. Both of Brady's touchdowns tonight were off of play action, which is something Brady's been great at his entire career, this season being no exception. Since the second half of the first time these two teams played, Tampa Bay has now outscored Kansas City 55-19 in the last six quarters against them. The second half of the first game and all four quarters of this game, they have outscored Kansas City 55-19. So miss me with that game being rigged bullshit. The better team won. I don't want to hear from, especially a Chiefs fan. Seriously, I don't want to hear from any Chiefs fans. Not after what happened last year. Shut the fuck up. If you're one of these super woke conspiracy theorist football fans who think the game was rigged in Tampa Bay's favor, oh, the NFL wanted Tom Brady to win because the Super Bowl was played on February 7th and he just won his seventh championship. And that's what these super woke motherfuckers be talking about. That's how they sound. Dumb shit like that. As I've so often said, time and time again on this podcast, football is, was, and always will be a game predicated on blocking, tackling, matchups, and game plan. 10 times out of 10, whoever blocks and tackles better is going to win the football game. 10 times out of 10, the team that matches up with the other team better is going to win the football game. Typically, whoever has a better game plan is going to win the football game. Whoever wins a turnover battle is going to win the football game. Mahomes threw two picks tonight. KC had two turnovers. Tampa Bay had zero turnovers. They took care of the football all game. They were able to get big plays out the running game. They blocked better at the point of attack. They were the more physical football team. Kansas City played soft for much of this game, I thought. They got beat up in the trenches. They got manhandled. If you block and tackle better, you're going to win the football game. Tampa Bay blocked and tackled better, thus they won the football game. Brady wasn't really under that much pressure. He had a clean pocket for much of the game. Mahomes, on the other hand, running for his life. It's just that simple. Tampa Bay was better at the point of attack, better up front. They applied more pressure. They blocked and tackled better. They didn't turn the ball over. Football's not that hard. The teams who do those things well are going to win the football game. Kansas City was terrible tonight. You know, stupid, careless, undisciplined football will lose 10 times out of 10. That's just what it is. But the Buccaneers at the beginning of the season were a stupid, undisciplined, careless football team that made a lot of dumb mistakes. But as the season progressed, they were able to cut down on those mistakes and play smart, disciplined football. And you saw the results. And as first pointed out by the Dion Gordon podcast, I told all my loyal listeners, that all the Buccaneers needed was some time off. Remember, they had their bye week in week 13. That was the latest bye week of the season. And they looked tired. They looked sluggish going into that back end part of the season before that bye week, playing on Monday night versus the Rams, and then coming back and playing on Sunday versus Kansas City. They looked a little tired, like they had dead legs out there. And, you know, the starting quarterback is 43. He needs a time off. And he got that week off. They never lost a football game after that week 13 bye week. What Tampa Bay was able to accomplish during this playoff run was nothing short of remarkable. On this way to this championship, they beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Pat Mahomes in consecutive games. The best quarterback performance versus that Tampa Bay defense was, of all people, Taylor Heinicke in the wild card round for the Washington football team. I thought he was outstanding. Brees, terrible. Rodgers in the championship game, garbage. Mahomes tonight, pathetic. The reason those three quarterbacks looked as pathetic as they did was that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense forcing turnovers, getting pressure on the quarterback, making big plays. That Buccaneers defense is just as much responsible for this championship as Tom Brady is and as everybody else. This was a total team effort. They won this as a collective. It's a testament to that organization and the aggression that they showed in the offseason to upgrade and bolster their football team. Remember, Jameis Winston was the quarterback for this team last year. He threw for over 5,000 yards and over 30 touchdown passes. Now he also threw over 30 interceptions. So Bruce Arians figured, well, I won 7 games with a guy throwing 30 picks. If I could just cut down on the turnovers and the mistakes, we could figure out ways to win football games. Tom Brady becomes available after leaving New England in the offseason. They made the aggressive move to go out and get the greatest quarterback who ever played football and bring him in. And, of course, when you bring in Tom Brady, you bring in Tom Brady initially as a quarterback. He morphs into a general manager once you bring him in, and now all of a sudden you got Rob Gronkowski on the roster. You look up midseason, you bring in Antonio Brown. Before the season, during free agency, you need a running back, a big power running back that can move the chains, cut from the same cloth as someone like LeGarrette Blount for the Patriots back in the days. You bring in Leonard Fournette. Now, all of a sudden, you get the makings of a great and formidable and balanced offense. Defensively, you bring in someone like Ndamukong Suh to go with guys you already drafted, like Devin White and Levante David. Antoine Winfield. You already got guys coming off the edge like Pierre Paul and Shaq Barrett. Total team effort. As a collective, they won this championship. Everyone should be proud of themselves. This was a great team effort to hold a prolific offense like the Kansas City Chiefs to 9 points in the Super Bowl. It's spectacular. Salute to Bruce Arians and putting together a mostly black coaching staff. I was very happy and very excited about seeing that. I love seeing black people win and do well. Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich, Antoine Randall, Larry Foote, and a whole host of others down there. A majority black coaching staff from Bruce Arians. So that's another reason I was happy to see Tampa win. Salute to them. Great job all around. The highlight of the game for me came late in the game when Antoine Winfield broke up a pass intended for Tyreek Hill and then chucked up the deuces at him, waved the peace sign at him. Tony Romo in the broadcast kind of pissed me off with this. He said, you know, you shouldn't do things like that. It's like kicking a man when he's down. Fuck that. Tyreek Hill did a backflip into the end zone last time these two teams played. Go ahead somewhere with that bullshit about kicking a man when he's down. Don't dish it out if you can't take it. This man hitting backflips and waving at people on his way to the end zone. If he can't handle Antoine Winfield giving it back to him when his team is winning, when he's gotten the better of the matchup, they shouldn't be doing that shit in the first place. I'm all for taunting and celebrating and talking shit. You're proving yourself to be better than someone else. Go ahead and talk that shit. As long as you can back it up, I don't care. But if Tyreek Hill is going to talk that shit, Tyreek Hill is a great player. He's a top five receiver in the NFL, top three, really. He's a phenomenal football player. But like I said, if he can't take it, then he shouldn't dish it out. It's just that simple. That's just how I look at it. So in closing, Buccaneers 31, Chiefs 9. Unexpected outcome by a lot of people. A lot of people, myself included, thought it would at least be a closer game. I thought it'd be back and forth or come down to the fourth quarter. Tampa Bay just dominated from start to finish. Like I said, the second quarter of the game was pretty much decided. Tampa Bay wins their second Super Bowl in franchise history. First time since Super Bowl 37 with a 48-21 victory over the Oakland Raiders at that time. Now tonight, their second championship in franchise history. Tom Brady, 7-time Super Bowl champion, 5-time Super Bowl MVP. He has now won more championships than all 32 teams. Tom Brady by himself is a franchise. He is the unofficial 33rd team in the National Football League. He is the GOAT. There should be no question about this. There should be no argument, no pushback, nothing counter to what I'm saying. Tom Brady is the GOAT. I don't even like giving white people this much credit, but goddamn it, Tom Brady's that good. 7 championships, 43 years of age. No signs of slowing down. He's still a top 5 quarterback in the NFL right now currently at 43. He's still one of the 5 best quarterbacks on the planet. And with this team being as loaded as they are on both sides of the ball, got some free agency issues they got to address. Certain players, I think Shaq Barrett's contract is up. But we'll see what happens with that. But this is definitely a team going forward in the next season is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Congratulations to Bruce Arians on winning his first. As far as Kansas City is concerned, you wonder if, you know, they had a little bit of a tumultuous week with the COVID outbreak with 20 guys in the team suspected of catching COVID. Nothing came out of that. There was no positive test I heard about, but that's still a distraction. Then you had later on in the week, you had Andy Reid's son, Britt Reid, who's the linebacker's coach, I think, being involved in a car accident with a 5-year-old currently listening in critical condition. That's definitely a distraction. That's definitely something major. Britt Reid later on in the week had said that he potentially had 2 or 3 drinks before he got in the car and decided to drive. So he's drinking and driving with a 5-year-old in the vehicle. So to me, that already makes him a degenerate piece of shit. What's even more disgraceful is that this little girl and her family have had to set up a GoFundMe account to cover the hospital expenses. Now, to me, these expenses should have been covered by the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL. This was caused by an employee of the Kansas City Chiefs, the son of the head coach. Someone from their organization, in particular Andy Reid and his family, should have reached out to the family of the little girl who was hurt and offered to pay the medical expenses. I don't understand why that didn't happen in the first place. A relative of the young girl identified in the GoFundMe as Ariel gave the update days after Reid was involved in a multi-car crash. 2 children were injured in the wreck that took place near Arrowhead Stadium on Thursday night, but it was the 5-year-old girl who was left with the most serious injuries, which includes swelling in and around the brain. She is currently in critical condition and has not woken up since the crash. According to the GoFundMe page, Reid, the Chiefs' outside linebackers coach and son of head coach Andy Reid, did not make the trip to Tampa, Florida with the team as the organization investigates the crash. Reed, 35, was under investigation for driving impaired in Kansas City, Missouri, after police say he was involved in a multi-car crash near Arrowhead Stadium, Fox 4 Kansas City reports. So that definitely had to be weighing heavily on Coach Reed and the rest of the football team. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm certainly not trying to trivialize the life-threatening injuries to a five-year-old girl, her injuries and her overall well-being and long-term health is certainly more important than the outcome of a football game. But what I'm saying is that obviously had to be a distraction for the team. This is the head coach's son. Reed certainly had to have this on his mind. He spoke about it in the post-game. He gave his thoughts and his prayers to the family of the little girl. His son was an idiot. No other way to say it. His son was, like I said, a low-life, degenerate piece of shit. Decided to drink and drive and get behind the wheel of a car with a five-year-old in the car with him, jeopardizing his life, her life, and the other motorists on the road. That is inexcusable, unconscionable. He should lose his job as the outside linebackers coach. At the very least, lose his job, and then he should be subject to court litigation. It's absolutely disgusting to see the life of a five-year-old be in jeopardy due to gross negligence of an adult who should know better. That's disgraceful. So you hope for the best in that situation for her and her family. If you wish to donate to the GoFundMe, you can find that at GoFundMe.com. Ariel, 5 years, critically hurt in suspected DUI crash. There's a picture of her at the top of the page. There's a fundraiser being organized by Tiffany Verhulst. I hope I said that name correctly. On behalf of Felicia Miller, I guess that's her mother. But just, yeah, just go to GoFundMe.com, fundraiser for Felicia Miller. At the top of the page, it says Ariel, 5 years, critically hurt in suspected DUI crash. Their goal was $45,000 they wanted to reach. They have well exceeded that. They have raised over $292,000 for this GoFundMe page, so well past $45,000. So I'm happy they've reached their goal and good people have reached out and donated their money to the family of this little girl. I'm appalled by the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Reed family have not donated any of their money to the little girl. This is an absolutely heartbreaking story. You certainly wish for the best outcome in the situation. I feel like I had to mention that. I feel like that was a part of the game, certainly for the preparation for the Kansas City Chiefs. I was also a little bit bothered by the fact that they did not mention this during the broadcast. To my knowledge, I don't think CBS mentioned that. I feel like that's lazy journalism. Just because it's uncomfortable to talk about doesn't mean you shouldn't talk about it. It's definitely a part of the story, a part of what happened in the build-ups in this game. It's certainly a major thing to talk about. And it should have been discussed at some point during the broadcast. You have 3 hours of broadcast this football game. Yet there was no mention about how one of the assistant coaches on one of the teams playing in the Super Bowl, who just happens to be the son of the head coach, almost killed a five-year-old while driving under the influence, and there's no mention of it during the game. We'll go out on a limb and say that if Eric Bieniemy had done this, it probably would have been talked about. But that's a different story. That's neither here nor there. But to wrap this up in a more positive way, hate to end this on a downer. Congratulations once again to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, the GOAT. Bruce Arians, his first championship. All black coaching staff, a majority black coaching staff. Salute to everybody affiliated with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the culmination of the 2020-2021 NFL football season. A lot of people didn't think this season would even happen. There was a lot of COVID outbreaks during the season. There was close contact, close tracing, whatever you want to call it. Different games being rescheduled, moved around, Tuesday, Wednesday football games. The Broncos playing a game with no quarterback because their entire quarterback room had a COVID outbreak. You had different obstacles you had to overcome. This is certainly one of the more unique football seasons in NFL history. But they played the season as is, week by week, started on time and finished on time and made it all the way to the Super Bowl and was able to crown a brand new champion, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Once again, congratulations to them. That's it for the 2020-2021 NFL football season. That's also it for this edition of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Appreciate you listening. Thank you very much for that. Always grateful, always humble. Picture me rolling. I'm out.